Hello, guys. Welcome back to the Health and Wellness Connection TV show. I'm your host, Dr. Barry, and I'm here to, you know, try to live up to the commitment of bringing you the best health and wellness information available on the interwebs. Now, of course, we have a huge staff here at AfroVibes Television that helps make this thing happen. I want to give a shout out to everybody involved, as well as AfroVibes TV Studios, located here in Houston, Texas, where it is very hot, in case you're in the area. However, you know, we're still going to keep pushing because we think it's very important. Now, of course, you all know we took a brief hiatus here the past few weeks just for a mental health break. Now, of course, that will come up because that's actually been in the news, as I'm sure you guys are well aware, and has really affected the Olympics actually quite a bit, which we'll also discuss as well. So stay tuned for that. But yes, you know, I just want to thank you guys for tuning in, and thanks for your support. Don't forget, guys, if you want to support us, because we also, you know, are looking at, you know, expenses that we're trying to tackle, but we want to make sure we let you guys know if you're looking to support the movement, don't hesitate to reach out to AfroVibes Television, be a sponsor, advertise your show. You can feature your show, actually, your business, sorry, on this show, which is seen by millions, and I think ultimately, you know, it could be a great way to help yourself as well as help the station. So consider that, guys. So that being said, let's get right into it. You know, I'm sure you guys know COVID-19 has really been in the news. You know, this has been the summertime. A lot of, you know, various nations across the globe have been relaxing their various travel restrictions. They're trying to get the economies of various countries back in gear, and as a result, it has led to, you know, a lot of issues as far as, you know, figuring out the best way to manage this COVID-19 virus. Because as we all know, you know, as people get together, you know, there's an increased chance of transmission. And, you know, the vaccines that have been also been on the market now are really being put to the test. And we're starting to see what vaccines are working and which ones aren't. And it's really kind of letting everyone know how we're going to be moving forward, because this COVID-19, unfortunately, is not going away. And as a result, you know, many things are going to be changing as far as their everyday lives. Now, that being said, let's briefly go over the numbers so we can see kind of how we're doing. Overall, you know, COVID-19 is a huge thing, and there's over nearly 200 million people affected by the virus completely throughout this entire pandemic. About 4 million deaths total. So the numbers are still climbing despite the vaccine penetration. We're going to talk about those deaths and how they kind of start to kind of separate themselves, and gives us more information as far as what's working and what isn't. And despite, though, the 200 million people who have died, there are 180 million have recovered. So just to make it clear that COVID-19 is not a death sentence, but it can definitely cause a lot of issues and really affect your life and your ability to, you know, function quite a bit. So, you know, I don't want to get, you know, people sometimes take it extreme, and which sometimes has a purpose in case they want to really enforce a message. And we're talking about how Biden actually was caught up in that situation, where he said things that were a bit extreme, and sometimes, you know, he had to be kind of calmed down. But again, Biden has shown that he's very passionate about getting a handle on COVID-19, so his efforts are definitely applauded. So let's talk about it. So as we see, there are increases in new cases that are starting to trend upwards, and this is something that's being seen all over the globe. We have numbers slightly rising in various communities all throughout the United States. United States is still the number one nation total. So the United States is averaging about 53,000 cases per day now. Definitely upwards trending that we're seeing. And it's unfortunate because we were moving in a beautiful direction. You know, we were sub 10,000 cases for many various weeks throughout the summer. But now we're starting to see those numbers starting to increase. Almost about 200 deaths per day we're also seeing in the various individuals. So it's definitely something that's being, you know, very closely monitored, because, you know, the hope is that with the vaccine penetration now in the United States at about 60%, that we should see significant improvements in those death rates. So even though there are significant numbers of people who are vaccinated getting reinfected, the good news is that those people aren't really getting those severe complications we were seeing in those who are unvaccinated, which we'll talk about in a second. Number two is India, with 41,000 new cases on average per day, about 500 deaths per day. So they're actually improving, given where they were just a few months ago. They had significant high levels of death in the 3,000 or 4,000 per day. So we've got those numbers down. Thankfully, they are getting more vaccines on ground, and some people believe that is contributing to the improved numbers. But again, this is this kind of wave we're seeing that's, it's still only August currently right now when we're filming this. So, you know, we expected those numbers to start to trend upwards, especially as the effects of people mingling start to establish themselves. However, it is still very early. The summer is still in full swing. So the fear is that if we're already seeing these trends upwards now, you know, we could be in a very frightful situation come fall, like October, you know, November and so forth. So, you know, we're going to watch these closely, and it's still, you know, is influenced a lot of these new recommendations we're seeing from various health bodies like the CDC. We'll talk about those as well shortly. Brazil, number three, about 37,000 cases per day. They've also had a very difficult time dealing with this pandemic. They've had significant surges and falls, but, you know, they've been trending upwards, unfortunately. However, the death rates, they're also seeing that small dip, and it's better than where they were, about 900 deaths per day, but still significant. So Brazil is definitely, you know, working hard and trying to improve their COVID management. And of course, their president, who has really been under fire for his lackluster approach toward the COVID-19 pandemic initially, the Brazilian president, Jair Bolsonaro, and has been the reason that many Brazilians are pushing for his ouster just due to his callous approach toward the COVID-19, which many are blaming for the significant death rate they have been, you know, dealing with in the nation of Brazil. So Brazil is still definitely going through it. Number four is going to be Russia, which is also a nation that has, you know, had a decent response as well. They were one of the first to create a vaccine, which was actually considered to be fairly effective per Russian sources, about 90%. And, you know, they have actually still had a significant issue with new infections, but a little bit lower than some of the other nations we mentioned previously, about 23,000 new cases per day in the Russian nation, and about 800 deaths per day. So still significant numbers there, even though they are, you know, kind of low. Even though Russia never really had huge surges, at least nothing that was officially reported, but, you know, they definitely had their issues, and it seems like their virus management program has been actually fairly decent. So France is another nation, about 23,000 new infections per day, 43 deaths per day. So if France has been fairly moderately vaccinated for EU nation, they're about 60% have received at least one dose in the nation of France, and about 46% have been fully vaccinated. So, you know, the death rates are actually quite low there, and you know, that would actually bode well for those nations that are being highly vaccinated, tend to having now much lower death rates than we're seeing. So just really emphasizes the importance of this vaccine and why, you know, people are pushing for it to be kind of distributed as, you know, far and wide as possible. Now, before we talk more about the vaccine, let's talk about this Delta variant. The Delta variant has really been in the news lately. The Delta and all the related organizations like Delta Airlines or other fraternity sororities, you know, are not really too happy because the Delta has really been associated with a lot of death and kind of increased fear and increased kind of concern in the health community. So let's talk about the Delta variant and why it's a concerning variant. Now, the Delta variant is a virus that was actually let's talk about actually the naming nomenclature. That's actually something important I want to make sure you guys understand. So, you know, you remember, guys, early in the pandemic when these new mutations would come out, because as we all know, the COVID-19 virus is highly mutagenic, meaning that it mutates very rapidly when it's inside an affected individual. So when this happens, new variants are established. This actually allows the virus to survive, you know, when it's actually fighting for, per se, your immune system if you get infected. So the virus is adapting, moving, changing its form to be able to evade the immune system. As a result, these new mutations are created, which tend to be more contagious than their predecessors. So this is why, you know, it's been a huge concern to minimize the ability for these viruses to mutate. And there is some belief that those who are vaccinated may provide a less hospitable environment for the virus to hang out and mutate, right? So, unfortunately, when these things are, you know, coming out now, before it would be the South African variant, the UK variant, there was even a Nigerian variant being discussed briefly, but that faded away. I don't know what happened to that one, but who knows? That being said, probably never, they denied it a visa, maybe, who knows? Either way, those variants have been kind of doing their thing, but this, you know, South African variant actually was the first variant that was determined to be fairly deadly, and there was initial concern when it didn't really respond well to some of the people who have been vaccinated with other vaccines like the Johnson & Johnson. They were still getting significant infections from the South African variant. Now, because of the various names being associated with different locations, and there was concern that that would maybe affect them on a social scale, you know, because people don't like really being associated with a deadly virus that's killing many people, right? So they're trying to change it to a Greek nomenclature. But because, of course, many people have used Greek nomenclatures for various purposes throughout history, there's still going to be people upset for that. So you can't really win in the situation. So unfortunately, if you're in a situation where your name is closely associated with a deadly virus like Corona, which was known as a pretty popular alcohol brand, but now it's kind of, you know, a different look there, as well as, you know, other organizations with names closely associated with the COVID-19. It's unfortunate, but that's the reality of the world we're in today. So that being said, this is now the Delta variant. Now, this actually came from the nation of India when there was large outbreaks there. But earlier in the spring, there was a belief that this mutation came out from that outbreak. And this mutation is very concerning because it's showing some signs of, you know, very kind of more aggressive behavior when compared to the predecessors, which is unfortunately what the current vaccines that are out there were built on. Now, the Delta variants, the belief that this Delta variant is one of the most contagious and is actually responsible for most of the new infections we're seeing now in people who are diagnosed with COVID-19. The Delta variant is definitely being determined that it is affecting those who are unvaccinated far more severely than those who are vaccinated. It's believed that various studies that have been shown that almost of all the people who have gotten infected and who have been hospitalized, the vast majority, over 90%, have actually been determined to be unvaccinated, whereas those who have been vaccinated who get infected tend to have a mild symptom, they have basically mild symptoms throughout their disease course. So, you know, sniffles, fevers, coughs, sore throats, but they tend to do just fine. So, and now let's talk about even that phenomenon, because when people who are fully vaccinated, meaning receive the full course of whatever vaccine regimen they took, you are believed to have received about 90 plus percent immunity to the virus. Now, what we're finding is that people who are getting newly infected are getting infected with this new mutation, this Delta variant, because the Delta variant, apparently, you only receive about 39% protection against that variant, even if you've been immunized with what is considered the best vaccine protocol based on the percentages, that is the Pfizer vaccine. But even the other vaccines give great immunity protection as well. So if you've been vaccinated fully, you're still getting fairly low protection, meaning it's less than 40% protection against the Delta variant. So unfortunately, you know, for those people who've been vaccinated and feel that they should be, you know, immune, you're technically not, because you are potentially able to get an infection. And also, it seems that based on what we're seeing in the various studies that we're seeing regarding people who've been infected, we're actually seeing that these people who are also vaccinated and who get newly infected with this variant are now still able to spread it and still able to, you know, basically give it to whomever who's around them, because they're considered super spreaders due to the high levels of viruses we're seeing in their mucosal areas where the virus typically resides when it causes an infection. So yes, the people who are vaccinated are still capable of being super spreaders, meaning people who have mild symptoms who feel fine but still moving around spreading the virus to those, and potentially could really harm folks who are, you know, vulnerable. Now, this is something that we've seen in kids, because we've noticed that a lot of children tend to not have significant symptoms with the COVID-19 infection, and they also can become super spreaders. So technically, people who've been vaccinated now have the more ability to super spread because they're not as sick, so they actually can move around and feel good, yet they're still very infectious and can cause other people to get infected. So, you know, it's something that is kind of causing some, you know, reassessment of how we're approaching this pandemic, because, you know, we're seeing now that masks are something that are potentially could be, you know, something that could be a very effective tool in helping reduce person-to-person transmission. As the thing with masks is that as you wear a mask, you actually reduce the amount of virus you are, you know, expelling, and also you reduce the amount that is penetrating your system. Now, it's not a foolproof method, but it will reduce a significant portion of the areas where you tend to get infections when, you are in the environment interacting with other people. So for this reason, many experts now are recommending everyone should wear masks, vaccinated or not, because if you do, it's going to help just reduce that transmission. If you're vaccinated, good for you in the sense that nothing is absolute, but the chance of you getting very sick, especially getting significant complications like pneumonias and heart problems, things like that, are reduced. Now, it's not eliminated, so if you see this one story on Facebook where someone got a vaccine and then died immediately afterwards, that's extremely rare, extremely uncommon, and is being pushed for a reason. Chances are, something is going on behind the scenes that may benefit from that. So the reality is this, guys, we have over a billion people have been vaccinated now. There's an extremely low level of complications, less than 0.01% of people who have like severe complications requiring significant hospitalization. So, I mean, at this point, the initial numbers are showing that the vaccine is actually quite safe. Now, of course, long term, we don't know. So we know 30 years from now, something with the vaccine is found to be linked. That's something that's very difficult for people to predict until those time periods come. But in the short term, we have, literally millions passing away. So it's important that we make sure that we do what we can to survive to that point, and then we can deal with that as it comes. But that being said, Delta variant is still very serious, and it's, like I said, for this reason, this is why we're trying to reduce the amount of variants that come about. Now, as we just stated, the initial belief was that it's possible that the variants could be reduced if they are infecting people who have been vaccinated. That's something that has not been fully played out yet, and we don't actually know what's going to happen regarding the mutations going forward. But the belief is that this virus is probably going to be mutating, and there's a real chance that booster shots will be required every, 6 to 12 months is the initial prediction, but who knows? And this is part of the whole issue with, many who have problems with the vaccination, side of the whole thing. And, it's definitely understandable, but, we'll have to see how this thing plays out going forward. But definitely we're seeing now that Delta variant is something to be, concerned about, in the sense that, you want to make sure you're doing everything you can to reduce your risk of infection, especially if you're unvaccinated, which hopefully if you are not, there's a very strong reason why you believe that that's the way to go. So now the Olympics has been in the news recently, obviously, because it's going on right now. Tokyo, Japan. This is the current home of the Olympics, which were nearly canceled due to fears of COVID-19 being, a dominant force in the Olympics, potentially, creating a super spreader event. So Tokyo has been actually very strict in how they've approached the Olympics and ensured that, they've tried to reduce, increased mingling. They're trying to ban parties, people. There's no actual fans allowed in the stadium. So it's just a quiet stadium filled with, paper cardboard cutouts of the stands. So it's really a COVID-style Olympics, guys. So the good thing is that, we do have great cameras and great technology now, so you can see really amazing quality footage in the comfort of your own home. So after this show is over on your Roku television, you can always, look at some of the Olympic coverage as well, because it's quite entertaining. That being said, the vaccine has been a huge focal point as far as how the athletes are going to be protecting themselves against COVID-19. Now, apparently the COVID vaccine is not being required by the athletes, but athletes are definitely being required to mask up and maintain social distancing and just try to avoid, getting in large groups. It was even a report that the beds that are in the Olympic Games were actually being made of cardboard just to discourage people from, doing what they do at nighttime, at the Olympics, because they want to reduce people getting together and doing their thing, and potentially, increasing the spread of the virus. So, that being said, there have been some small outbreaks there at the Olympics. A few people were deemed to be positive, a few athletes. I think Bradley Beal was one of those for the NBA, USA men's basketball team. A couple other outbreaks with a few other athletes were discovered as well. So it's definitely affected the games and has really shattered many athletes who have been working hard for 3-4 years to get to this point, just to get a positive test, due to, an exposure. So it's definitely something that is on the mind of everybody, especially the athletes who are training. As a result, it has really affected how this Olympics has played out. And, something that as a, fan of athletic competition, and it's something that everyone, I think, hopefully will, be aware of. So when the next Olympics occurs, we can kind of look back on this period and kind of laugh at how weird the whole thing was when we're back to normal. So that being said, the Olympics have definitely been a big thing in the news. Now, mental health was something that has also been brought up in this Olympics due to some of the more prominent athletes in the Olympics having to actually step away due to concerns with their mental health. One of the biggest names in the Olympics, Simone Biles, fully well-decorated gymnast who's been extremely successful in the Olympic Games. Many people look up to her, especially in the gymnast realm. But she was actually a victim of this issue we're dealing with in terms of mental health. She stated that she felt that she wasn't herself, and she was fearful that if she went ahead with the Olympics, she could potentially do something that could potentially hurt herself, especially if her mind wasn't straight. So for that reason, she decided to step down and allow her teammates to go ahead and lead the charge. They were able to get silver as a team, which was actually very good. Many people were disappointed in Simone's inability to perform. However, I think that everyone is definitely happy that she is focused on her health and making sure that she's doing what's best for her to ensure that she's able to continue to do what she loves at a high level. So, you know, shout out to Simone Biles for bringing the mental health awareness back to the forefront. But it kind of begs the question as far as, what are people to do to help reduce some of those things that can really get you to a point where, you're really stressed out and really it affects your ability to perform. Well, here at the Health and Wellness Connection, we always talk about some of those things that are critical. Of course, when you're doing something that you love and you're working hard to achieve a goal, stress is really part of the deal. And it's important that you understand, kind of the purpose of what you're doing, why you're doing it, what your goal is, and, really if it's something you can truly attain. Now, I think that, over time, as you do something and you get, proficient at it, usually it helps reduce stress when your confidence level builds. That enables you to really continue to perform and do what you can to maximize whatever opportunity you're presented in front of. But it's important that you have to understand that, when you're facing something that you may or may not be able to handle, chances are, it's rarely a situation where something you're facing is greater than you, because ultimately, I think, a human being who is focused and driven can be one of the most powerful forces that exists. So I think learning how to kind of understand kind of your purpose, what your focus is, and setting realistic goals for yourself that you know with hard work you can achieve, and just kind of pushing forward. And at the end of the day, even if you don't achieve some extremely lofty goal, you'll be surprised. You'll probably fall in a situation where you're actually almost there, and you're actually going to probably be not doing too bad in the long run. So I think focus and understanding how to manage those, feelings and emotions are critical. And that being said, I think something all athletes, you have to understand as, part of the training regimen, the mental health is so critically important, as opposed to, it's no less important, I should say, than the physical strength training and conditioning you have to do as well. So guys, focus on that. Hopefully all the other athletes are out there are doing what they can to improve their mental health. We have a whole show for that coming up very soon, so stay tuned for that, guys. But yes, it's a great thing that people are now understanding that mental health can be extremely important and is really just as important as your physical training, especially if you want to perform at your top peak levels. So guys, this is another sign that how important this COVID situation is. COVID-19 is now being officially recognized as a disability. Well, yes, in the United States of America, the Department of Health and Human Services, they just rolled out new guidance to give information to those who are granted disability, to people who have suffered from a COVID-19 infection that has caused, chronic symptoms. Now, one thing about COVID-19, as far as people who survive, there's really no, guarantee that you'll be completely fine. Some people are actually developing chronic symptoms and long-term issues, especially those who have developments like strokes or heart attacks, which is, kidney failure, which is something we've seen in COVID-19 critical patients. So even though you survived, but you're, having a significant, decrease in quality of your life, this sometimes prevents people from continuing with their normal work and now requiring them to be on disability. So this is being now officially recognized as COVID-19 related, disability. So it just shows the importance of, reducing your risk of getting those complications, because, if you survive it, that's great, but you don't know if you have a chronic issue, could develop a heart issue, a kidney issue, a stroke even. So it's something that, you have to be very careful when you, approach this whole pandemic moving forward. So and a new study has just come out. This actually came out just a few weeks ago, actually. It said that 8 in 10 American adults who have not received a COVID-19 infection say that they are unlikely to get one, a new survey has shown. So, yeah, this is, very concerning, obviously, for those who have been, on the forefront of trying to promote people getting vaccinated. But this is something that is definitely has been in the news and is something that's there. And this study has really shown that there's a strong anti-vaccine culture out here that's going to continue. And I think we need some strong, consistent, educational movements to help people understand the importance of the vaccine, in my opinion. Now, more information regarding the study stated that those who have not been vaccinated, 35% actually said they're unlikely to get vaccinated, and 45% say that they definitely won't get vaccinated. But only 3% said they'll definitely get the shots, and 16% said they probably will. So, good amount of people, especially those who say they definitely won't, is definitely concerning. But hopefully, when we talk about the vaccine, who should get it, who shouldn't get it, I think we've talked about it previously, but let's do it one more time. People who should definitely get it, high vulnerable populations, the elderly 65 and up, those who have, who live with anyone who has, a vulnerable, risk, high risk for the infection. So it's a lot of people, should be definitely considering getting vaccinated. If you interact with people, if you're on a public area, especially if you're, someone who interacts with people on a regular basis, you can help reduce those getting vaccinated. And at the very least, you can reduce your risk of death from the COVID-19 infection. So, things like that are, I think, very helpful and very beneficial. So consider it if you're still on the fence regarding vaccination. So guys, on a more lighthearted side of things, the Olympics is also showing that, athletes are definitely some of the more fit, physical individuals we have on the planet. Some of the best, athletes in the world are now currently in Tokyo, training to become the champions in their various fields and represent their countries of their various origins. Now, one thing that's kind of being highlighted again, which always comes around, but it's always fun to look at, are the calorie consumption levels of the various elite athletes we're seeing at these events. So one thing we know is that athletes usually consume anywhere between 4,000 to 8,000 calories per day when they're intense training. This is far greater than most typical calorie requirements for the average individual. As most normal people, requirements can range anywhere from 1,700 to about, 2,500 to 3,000 calories for those larger individuals. But because athletes are extremely active, they have a large, low percentage of body fat, they tend to, do a lot of physical exertion. They burn calories through their training regimen, sometimes 2 or 3 times a day they're training. So athletes can burn literally 4,000 to 6,000 calories a day just from working out intensely and doing their overall routine, and then their overall metabolism, which is typically extremely supercharged given their very active lifestyle. So athletes actually have to consume anywhere, a lot of times, between 8,000 to 10,000 calories a day. I mean, just to give you a point of reference, 10,000 calories is literally equal to, just an enormous amount of food. Thousands of calories. This is, imagine eating like, 2 and 3 servings of full servings every session, just to kind of keep up with the calorie requirements that you're using when you're out there, training and building muscle mass, building up your endurance. So it's something that, really is something that is a marvel. Now, that being said, if you're not training in this level, you should not be going there eating 3 and 4 helpings of various foods and plates, especially if you're not working out or doing any kind of intense physical activity. So please, guys, make sure you're doing what you can to monitor your eating habits. Best way I always recommend doing that, getting a app that can monitor your intake. It can kind of match it up with your activity level. And so if you're more sedentary, clearly your calorie requirement is going to be lower. And those apps can help you kind of do that and figure that out. MyFitnessPal clearly is one of my favorites. I put a lot of information on there about that. Definitely check out that app if you're looking for a good app to monitor your calories. But if you're an athlete and you're highly, highly, engaged in training, you should probably have a nutritionist who will help you create a modified eating plan just to help you and get you where you need to be so you can get those gains that you need to compete on that high level. And this, actually, before we go, let's talk about some of the different regimens that we've seen. Like we said, Ryan Murphy earlier, Usain Bolt is also a big, world famous runner, holds the title of the fastest man on earth. He said he eats for breakfast an egg sandwich, lunch pasta with corned beef. He eats fruit throughout the day, mangoes, pineapples, apples, and the like. Then he eats for dinner dumplings and chicken, yams, veggies, you know. Now, a lot of times these athletes tend to kind of, you know, give you the cleanest diet possible for the media. But the fact of the matter is athletes are eating a large amount of food. You know, it's just really impressive how much they have to eat to keep up with the training regimen. So, yes, guys, that being said, you have to, you know, focus on your diet and exercise, especially during these summer months. It can help with your overall mental health and your wellness and just everything about, you know, what it takes to become, you know, the best version of yourself. So that being said, I'm out, guys. This is the Health and Wellness Connection TV show. Thanks for tuning in again for what I hope was an informative show for you. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us here at the Afro Vibes TV studios here in Houston, Texas. You can email myself, drberryhealth@gmail.com. The studio here, info@afrovibes.tv. Also, you can check us on Facebook, www.nextlevelweightloss.com. www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. And my email, oh, we said that already. You know what? We are gone. Peace.